have a number of visitors, as is typical here today. Thank you for your presence. We're continuing the study of a local church. And as I pointed out in lesson one, your choice of a local church can have an enormous impact upon your life. It could affect your eternity. We pointed out that we need to know up front what to look for in a local church, because it's very difficult if you identify with a local church and then find out later it's going in a direction that would require you to separate from that group. That's a hard thing to experience. Now, having said that, many of you have done that. I have done that. I had to do that as a new Christian. I didn't choose a local church. They taught me the gospel, and I'm so thankful for it. But ended up a year and a half later having to leave. And as a new Christian, that was very, very difficult. But if we end up staying with a group, going in a wrong direction, with the wrong leadership, in time we'll be affected. And you see that through history. You see that that's a constant problem. And so again, I'm not trying to cause you to be suspicious of other brethren or suspicious of churches, but I am saying that it does make a difference. And we're seeing that now and so powerfully amongst churches of Christ in terms of very different paths that are being taken. And again, I'm not to be an alarmist, but I know in this group, you know, within 5 years, we generally have a new church here. You know, people move on. People are in college. They go other places. And in our very mobile society, and so you go to a new community, you know, how do you go about trying to make some basic determinations of where you attend? Lesson two was our foundation of this study, and that is on Bible authority. And we pointed out that this is the way you view the Scripture is going to have a huge difference in how you view a local church. And we've pointed out, and I think with a lot of material and a lot of scriptures that historically brethren haven't used, I think is very powerful. As we look at Jesus and his relationship to the Father, that he only stayed within those things that the Father showed him or told him. And basically, we'll see this later, we'll have the passage in our introduction, matter of fact, in our inner introduction, I'll just go ahead and go to that. In John 12, verse 48, a great verse. It says, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judgeth him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." It's on. Are y'all not? And this is the day I didn't back up the audio here. Okay, are we showing it up there? Okay. I guess we... You know, if you take the term word or words in the book of John and you see Jesus talking about his relationship to the Father, there were words that were to be delivered that he handled very carefully. You see 1 Peter 4:11 in this verse, where if any man speaks, can we finish that? Let him speak as the oracles of God. And here we see Jesus was trying to show us how to have a relationship with the Father. And so we handle these words very carefully. This idea of staying within the authority of God is not something churches of Christ invented. And I think it's very powerful when we look at those verses, we see that. So now we come to our study today about a local church. And so what we're wanting to do is we're wanting to seek authority for what local churches should be. Local churches didn't exist till Jesus died on the cross, raised from dead, and revealed his will. Sometimes I use the term New Testament church. Churches did not exist till the New Testament. Now, there were synagogues, but under the Old Testament, that was something that was under the Old Testament. It's not New Testament. We're going to find that Jesus gave instructions through his apostles for how local churches should function. And that's really going to be our thrust. We're wanting to find within these words what is right and what is wrong. Now, you know what's gotten us in trouble? Is sometimes in past generations something's introduced, some practice or teaching, and then it goes through a few generations, and when somebody says, is this authorized? And what somebody would say this, we've always done it this way. And sometimes people say, well, that's enough. And I will tell you, I have seen in a broad way where churches of Christ in history have gone a certain path. Now, sometimes they pull back from it. But I want to know, we do not instinctively know God's authority. We must hear. We must go to the words, not to our own practices. And I will tell you, in a local church, once you go down a wrong path, it is hard to correct it, particularly when it's been ingrained by precedent. Let's always be a group of people willing to change if we need to. But see, that's one of the problems we face with people. We tend to want to, you know, we don't like change. So we assume we've restored everything. We've got everything right. Well, maybe, maybe not, you know. We need to stay within God's word, and we are not the authority. And so what we're going to be doing in this study is we're going to carefully define Bible words. We're going to look at the context. We're going to try to stay within all that's revealed. When we don't have it revealed, we won't do those things. I think that's what 1 Corinthians 2:13 talks about in the American Standard Version, where it talks about combining spiritual things with spiritual words. Do we stay within authority, or do we go another path? So that's why many of my brethren will reject the idea of authority, because they don't like the narrow path it gives. And now we're seeing that in the change of worship and even the rejection of the plan of salvation in some cases, where if we stay away from these words in one area really consistently, it leads to something very different than what the Lord established. And so we're going to ask this question in this study: what is a local church? Should they exist? And how can we know? And local churches. How many of you, I'm sure you have. Sometimes I ask our students questions. A few years ago I asked our students questions this. How many of you have ever heard a lesson on instrumental music? A few years ago we had about 25% said they had. 75% said that they had not even heard a lesson in their lifetime. Now, of course, they were teenagers, and maybe they, you know, maybe they heard it and didn't remember hearing it. You know, sometimes those things happen. And so it's very interesting that if we stop teaching on authority, we stop teaching about what local churches ought to be, guess what? People are going to take a different path in authority when it's not taught. Now, here's the whole lesson. Now, you may think, you've got this four-page outline just to establish this. Well, this is what I'm doing here. If you want to have the whole lesson, I'm trying to establish this simple point. Let us carefully look at both the text and context and gather all passages that address a local church and stay within what those passages authorize. Does that sound reasonable? If we want to find out what a local church does, let's go to the New Testament, find passages that address local churches, and let's just stay within that. Now, believe it or not, I'm called a radical because I take that view. And we're going to show you some views that would seek to go another path, and we'll talk about those views. I really want to do what the Lord wants us to do here. And I really think when I'm committed to authority that I need to find passages that address local churches. Okay, so any comments so far? Does that sound unreasonable? Now, there can be some challenges. Now, please understand, I may make it sound too simple. As we agree to that foundation, we may debate what a verse may address. Sometimes local churches are named. Sometimes there's plural pronouns. And that could mean local churches. It could mean individuals. So there's some things, some additional, much additional study that goes. But if we agree on this foundation, I'm pretty happy. I believe from that foundation we can find a way to work together and resolve questions. So let me, without going to the lexicon here, and although I have it up there, What is a local church? That term local church is not found in the New Testament. So what do you mean, Larry? You adding something here? You're trying to present. So let me present it this way. Let's talk about it this way. Matthew 16:18. And by the way, I have rewritten the PowerPoint from the outline. I really need to upgrade this outline. I'm sorry I gave you an older outline here. But look, Matthew 16:18. Let's do this, okay? Jesus, after Peter confessed he was the Christ, he says, "I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Let me ask you a question. How many churches are there according to this verse? One. Does that agree with that? Where we see the term church, there's one church. Let me show you this verse. Let's go to Ephesians. I'm kind of skipping ahead a little bit. Here we go. There is one body and one spirit. How many bodies are there? One. Okay. As I look at this term, and I'm going backwards now. I'm sorry to be skipping around. But when I see the term church, I need to always think of people. It's people. When I think of the one church, I should always think of Jesus and the relationship of people to Jesus. When you see singularly there's one church, this is a universal relationship of individuals to Jesus. He is the one Lord. There is one body. Now, could I say that, hey, here, the University Church is the one body of Christ? Now, we have some that are within the one body of Christ, but aren't you glad this is not the whole one body of Christ today here in this building, you know? I'm sure glad it's a lot bigger than this. And so you're going to begin to see, and this is true of Bible words, and this is why people get confused. Bible words can have very different meanings in different contexts. The context will let you know what the meaning is. And so when you see singular church, when you need to think of people, it's a relationship of individuals to Jesus. And you see passages like we've already referred to here, the idea he put all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body. One more time. This one body is a relationship of people to the Lord, and that is it. It's not a functional body. There's no universal organization. By the way, when we talk, so what if somebody asks you this question? Where is the headquarters of the Church of Christ? In heaven. And why do we say that? Where is the head quartered? In heaven. That's good. Fast response to that. That's good. Okay. All right. And so, again, we're just looking at terms. The one true church is not a local church, but it is all Christians in their relationship to Jesus. How do you become part of the one body of Christ? Look at 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink in one Spirit. We become part of the universal church by baptism. When the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, what local church was he a member of? He was baptized in the wilderness, right, going home. What local church did he become a member of? He was a member of local church, not at that time. Was he a member of the Lord's church? Yes. Yes.
I didn't know you were a member. I thought you identified.
Well, you can use the term member. Once you identify, you would be part of the flock. And it talks about, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about we're members of one another in that sense. So where we can know one another, have a relationship with another. So you do identify. And there's a lot of ways to describe the relationship in a local church. And what we're going to be focusing in on, the shepherd and the sheep, primarily to show that when we get to those verses. Okay? I can see minds moving here thinking, excellent. A lot more to think about. Always in these classes, a lot deeper we can go. Yes?
One thing off the mic here, and I've heard this
Yes, the individual Christians, and not, you're right. And that's a big distinction, because historically, one of the battles that have occurred amongst brethren historically is trying to make the universal church a functional body. And Alexander Campbell actually later tried to do that. And he tried to justify the American Christian Missionary Society and tried to say that local churches comprise the one true church. And that's the same mistake that brethren, that denominations, our denominational friends, make in John 15. Remember, Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." You know what our denominational friends will say what the branches are? Different denominations. And that's not dealing with denominations, not dealing with organizational bodies. It's dealing with individuals and their relationship to Jesus. And so again, you know, as we're looking at terms here, words. This is. I hope this will provoke us to further study. And so, all right, now let's go to the second definition of church. By the way, I could give you more than three. There's probably five that you could use in the New Testament. If you go to the lexicons, there's different ones. So here's the one we're going to be focusing on. This is what we're trying to talk about. And we're talking about local churches. Even though the term local is not found here, you do see some things describing the church here in a way different than Matthew 16, 19. Notice 1 Corinthians 1, 2. To the church of God which is at Corinth. Why does that give us a hint that's not the body of Matthew 16, 19? It's at Corinth. Let's develop this. Romans 16, 16. Here's a good one. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, all of a sudden, you know, I thought there was one church. Well, there is. Well, how can you have churches? Well, here in context, the word can have a different meaning in a different context. And here there's such a thing as bodies of believers in local areas. Later we're going to see they have an identifiable body. The elders have a flock they can identify, and the flock has elders that they can identify. And so there is a definable local group. We'll develop this definition as we go along, but just noticing it. Again, Galatians 1, 2, to all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. So all I'm trying to do is define terms. You may say, Larry, you're really going to great extent to define terms. I found in controversial questions, if we don't define words, we get all confused. One person is talking about the universal church, and another is talking about a local church, and sometimes another person is talking about just any gathering of Christians. And so you get into controversy, you learn very quickly that, you know, we need to define things. And if we define things well, then we can better see exactly what we're talking about. And I think better understand God's Word. And so I think we've made this point. The local church is a functional body. And what do I mean by functional body? Do we make decisions? Do we have a work? Do we gather money for a purpose, you know? We're serving God. And when we talk about a functional body, there's a work for churches to do. We have a goal. We have a mission. When we take up money on the first day of the week, it's for the work of a church. And so the idea, we have an oversight. We make decisions. And so, again, a local church is where we live, okay? Yeah. And by the way, this is, again, off the side, but what if somebody would say, Larry, can you show me a command that I should be part of a local church? Can any of y'all give me a command that we're to be a part of a local church?
By example?
Okay, Acts 27, it says, we see that on the first day of the week, they came together to break bread. Now let me ask you, is breaking bread commanded? Are we told to partake the Lord's Supper? Yeah. You know what's a necessity? You're going to have a local group of people get together. You know, even though there's no direct command, you must be a part of a local church. We're commanded to give on the first day of every week. We're commanded to partake of the Lord's Supper. And when you understand the context where that's done, we've got to do that with a local group of people. You end up with local church. But by the way, though, I agree, by example, sufficient. The Lord gave local churches. The Lord gave instructions about what local churches do. Matter of fact, you read in the missionary journeys, Paul established churches. Then he came back and established elders in those churches. Did the Lord give us something that really is not essential? Could we say, yeah, the Lord gave that, but I don't need it? Ooh. Oh, my. You know, idea of Jesus being your Lord, you know, And so, but it's interesting, as we reason with Scripture, not everything is just laid out in the easiest command, but as we really say, I want to do the Lord's will, we come to a very quick conclusion. I must find a local church to be a part of. There was a hand raised. Did I miss anybody? I did not miss anything. What's that? Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Okay. So the local church will be the focus of our study. Now let me show you the idea of the word church and the various meanings it can have. The word church is not, how can I say it? It's not a word that the Holy Spirit invented. It is a Greek word that had a usage before churches existed. It's from the term ecclesia. And notice Acts 19:32. Let me show you. Here, even though it's not translated church, the term ecclesia is used in this verse. What was happening is there was all kinds of people upset because their ways of making money had ended. The idolatry was going out of business and people got upset. And the non-Christians who wanted the idolatry business, the idol business to continue, they got mad and came together. It's a group of angry, idolatrous non-Christians came together. Now, notice this verse. Some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused. That's our word church. That's ecclesia. And so when I tell you context must determine the meaning of a word, here is the word ecclesia, but it's not people in the one body of Christ at all. Now, there may have been some drug into that assembly. I think Jason was drug in there and others. They're getting ready to persecute him. I shouldn't do this, but I'll make a joke. Sometimes people say it sounds like some men's business meeting sometimes, or maybe times when churches are in an uproar where most of them did not know why they'd come together. Now, I hope that never applies to local churches, but sometimes, you know, there can be confusion. But in this context, this is not dealing with Christians. Now look at this one. Let me show you why we have to define terms. 1 Corinthians 14, again, we're not going to expound on everything about this verse. We're really focusing on the usage of the word church. Notice the usages here. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So here's plural. So we see plural. What do we see? If it's plural, it's dealing with local churches. Let your women keep silent in the churches, for they're not permitted to speak. Now, verse 35. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Now, what if we got confused? And some of my brethren do this. The Bible word's got to have the same definition in every context. Oh, really? Woo, okay. And let's say they say this is the one body of Christ. If we make the application to this passage, this is the one body of Christ, what do we end up with? When a woman is baptized, and if it's shameful for women to speak in church, fill in my syllogism here. After a woman's baptized, they couldn't speak anymore. Now, some people may want to argue for that position, but, you know, just laughingly, we know that's not the case. Now, by the way, this is even more specific than local church here. In this context, the term church is best translated assembly. You may say, why is that so? Let me ask you, how do you become a member of a local church? This goes back to... Well, you obey the gospel to become the universal church, but let's say you're an Ethiopian eunuch, and you go into an area. How do you know you're going to be... Let's say Paul coming to Jerusalem. How did Paul become part of a local church? There had to be some communication, a recognition. Now, if a woman becomes part of a local church, is she always a part of a local church? Wherever, you know, in the community, she's still a member of the church. Now, does this mean that she can't speak at all? Again, in all relationships once she becomes a member of local church? No. Here in this passage, and we could go earlier verses, I think verse 23, where it talks about the whole church come together in one place. This is speaking of the assembly of the whole church come together. So what I'm telling you, there's three basic meanings. There would be the universal church, there would be the local church, and then there would be the assembly of a local church. Here, we're talking about something that begins and ends, an occasion for all brethren to come together. And by the way, men are to keep silent too. In certain context in this, if someone, only two or three would speak, and here if somebody spoke in a tongue, didn't have a translator, he's to keep silent. And so in the context of 1 Corinthians 14, the term church is specific to an assembly. Am I confusing you? This is really important, though, in defining words. And if we don't define words, we can get spun around and get all kinds of confusion. Yes?
In that sense that you just described, this is not the church.
No. It's not the assembly. This is not, again, people may say, well, there's some people say you can't speak in Bible classes. And I appreciate that. But this is not the whole church come together in one place by design. And that's a very interesting study. Appreciate brethren have those concerns. And I respect that, but what we're doing here is not the whole assembly come together in one place. For the purposes we're to do things together. We would not have the Lord's Supper in this assembly. We would not have the contribution of this assembly. You see some of the distinctions made by definitions? And so again, a lot to think about. I know I'm planting so many seeds, I see the mind working. But let's work along these lines. Let's think within authority. And let's be patient. How can we know when a local church is addressed in Scripture? If I'm trying to look at local churches, then what I need to do is I need to go to the Bible and find all references to local churches in the New Testament, and I stay within those verses. And so that's my approach from here on out. Okay, we want to know what a local church should do. We need to apply authority to local churches. Well, let's take all the verses that we know address local churches. Let's stay within that. Okay? Yes. Yes. Right. Yes. Yes.
And so my point being, we would not know what a church is if God didn't describe it, tell us.
Yes.
We would know what it is to be a Christian.
Yeah.
If God in the Word didn't tell us what it is,
yes.
Tell us of that wonderful relationship.
Yes. If we didn't have his authority, we wouldn't even know to have a local church. And then what is a local church? If this is something new, this was something that didn't exist until Jesus, through the apostles, gave these directions. So we naturally would say, Lord, what do we do here? Let's start a local church, What do we do? That's all I'm saying here. I'm saying that I believe God, through the New Testament, has given us sufficient instruction to know what to do. Now, many brethren object to this approach. Many brethren are, as we talk about authority, they will say if it's not specifically condemned, it's allowed, and then you end up with some very different views of local churches. Again, that goes back to lesson two. I want to make sure, and it looks like I'm going to cover my goal this morning, but I want to talk about three positions that brethren take on this subject of the individual Christian and the local church. This is where, if we was going to address controversy, and by the way, I've never found anyone that's consistently applied number one position, even though they've taken it. Here's three positions that brethren take. One is whatever the individual Christian may do, the local church may do. Initially, that sounds very reasonable. Well, Christians are under the headship of Christ, and he's to do spiritual things, and so whatever the individual Christian does, then the local church ought to be able to do that. Now, by the way, I know of no brethren consistently really believe that. I'll show you later in the study. And so somebody words it like this. The local church is made up of individual members. So when a Christian does a good deed, it is really the church that does it. And so this view would affirm that when you find a passage authorizing an individual Christian to do something, then the local church may also do the same thing. Now, initially hearing that sounds reasonable. I'm thinking, okay, but let's look at that. I don't take that view. And we'll talk about in the course of our study why I would disagree with that view. There's a lot of good things about the view because you're going to Scripture and you're trying to look at things that the individual Christian can do. The position I hold is number two. There is a distinction between the work of an individual Christian and a local church. I really believe there is. Matter of fact, I think every one of you do, at least to some extent. For instance, let me go ahead and I'll jump ahead. Ephesians 4:28. Somebody read that for me. Let's open that verse. I know I'm jumping way ahead in my outline, but we got visitors here, and you're not going to be back next week, so I want to show you some of the things. You know, if we're trying to be consistent on a position, somebody read Ephesians 4:28 for me. Ephesians 4:28. Ephesians 4:28. That's okay. You were in five. So here's somebody that had been a thief. They become a Christian. Hopefully he's talking about a boy that's become a Christian. And then what does he need to do? Rather than steal money, what does he need to do? He needs to work. And within work, could you start your own business? Could you work for an employer? Could you run for office and become a, you know, a government official and have to earn money that way? Yeah. Now, individual Christians can work, can't they? Now, does that mean that local church can go into business and raise money by businesses? You see, I'm saying that most people I know, I don't know of anybody that's really denied that principle. They just want to deny it in some things and other areas. So this idea of a distinction between an individual Christian and a local church, and by the way, I'll show you in verses. I'm jumping ahead. But there are verses that very clearly show there's a difference between the responsibility and the work of an individual Christian and a local church. We'll be looking at those next week. But I'm just showing you that if we take the position that whatever a individual Christian can do, the local church can do, there's a lot of things I believe I can do. I'm thinking about what ball games I want to go to this fall. Sometimes I take the kids out to a park, you know. There's recreational and social things and other things that I do within the realm of my family and my home. I do believe the local church is a narrower field of responsibility and work. And I think most of you see that, but we just don't talk about this. This is an area that consistently, if we lay this foundation, I don't think it's very difficult to establish what a local church ought to be. And so here's the view, this view that I hold. I believe that a local church must be addressed in the context of a passage before assuming church responsibility. So what verses I may put in that circle of local churches would be verses that in the context I know is dealing with local church. There's some debate on this. Sometimes we assume by plural pronoun that it's a local church. That might be true. Sometimes the word church is not found, and we can debate that. That's fantastic. You know, again, I respect my brethren when we believe in authority, we understand the foundations, and we have some debates on what verses apply. That's fantastic. Let's look at that. And so, but here's the conclusion I do draw. If a scripture addresses only the individual Christian, this would not be enough to assume church action. Is that the bell? Excellent timing. Okay, this is where I want to cover today. Have you followed me? Are there questions? I know this has been somewhat detailed, but if we lay the foundation right and know what we're discussing and what we're not discussing, we don't get confused. Oh, and I've been in studies where it's just been a massive confusion. Somebody's using the term church this way, and somebody's looking at a passage dealing with individual Christians, and they get very emotional. So what we're trying to do here is lay a foundation that we all can agree on. And if we've got that foundation in place, and I believe this foundation is solid, then we can talk about differences we have. And so, again, this has been from experience, because I've learned it's far better to lay this foundation and then have a study than to have some argument and try to work your way backwards. And so this has helped me. Now, this third view I'm not even addressing here, that local churches have no right to exist. And my brethren hold that view, and that view has actually popped up in recent years. And I won't get into that one, but that one is, I think we can answer it just from the examples of Scripture. And so next week, here's the thing I want you to study. If we were to start a local church, what essential elements must be in place before it's a local church? And let me put it this way. Let's say some of us get together and let's go to a ball game, or we go to a restaurant. We got a group of Christians together. Is just any gathering of Christians a local church? Now, I may step on some toes here, okay? I probably shouldn't do this and end the class this way. I'm really concerned sometimes when brethren get together for some kind of retreat or some kind of forum, and they come together and have a contribution in the Lord's Supper just because they've got a random once a year coming together of people. I think local churches are defined, and I think there's the difference between a random gathering of Christians and a gathering together to purposely be a local church. So I'm kind of in, you know, make you think a little bit here. Next week we'll talk about this. What's the difference between any gathering of Christians and really establishing a local church? By the way, in two places I've been in my life, we've helped start a church from scratch in Lincoln, Nebraska and Charlottesville, Virginia. And that's very interesting. You think about these things. You know, if we're going to come together as a local church, how do we do that? What are things that would be necessary to form this body under the authority of God? Thank you for your attention. I think I've seen some eyes thinking today, and it's fantastic.